Who gasped in horror as what was once their captain but is now a cyborg broadcast the fact that they will soon be assimilated. They shake in fear, they quake in fear, they sweat. But for four, there is no fear. They do not assimilate. They walk their own path. They're here not to fight the Borg, but to play board games. It's Fat Thursday.
Hey, this is Jeff Luce. You may know me as Repo Man on the Fortress Ameritrash.
And I'm Josh Look, and you might recognize me as Josh Look, the guy with the Batman avatar.
And this is Fat Thursday, our podcast where we do a brief rundown of whatever we've played this week. We are broadcasting from our lunar base on the dark side of the moon. Don't fear, there are no Nazis here.
Got your space goggles on.
I got my space goggles on. And my top hat.
It's
a steampunk lunar base with clockwork gears.
And maybe a train, because we're gamers.
It all comes together. Lunar rails through time on the moon.
So, Jeff, this week we played Quantum, which is a game that I just picked up.
By Funforge, a French company, apparently.
They've put some stuff out.
You
probably, there are games that you would recognize by the box, not so much the name.
Right. They put out a game, Ilsa Dorado, which I believe is Isle of Gold, if I spoke French, which
perhaps.
I don't, other than credit.
I don't know if that's French, Jeff.
No?
No.
No?
I think that's Spanish.
Whatever. It was taco.
Details.
Yeah, whatever.
Details.
French, Spanish.
We're here to talk about Quantum.
Let's talk about Quantum.
Let's talk about Quantum.
It's got a space theme.
It does have a space theme, but does that mean it's a space game?
No, definitely not. It's a space game in the same way that Alien Frontiers is a space game.
Right.
Which means it has dice that are called spaceships.
Right.
And
that's
it's
true.
Got representations of space stuff.
Right.
On board.
Right. However, this is not a dice worker placement game at all. What I mean, how would you classify this game?
How would I classify
it's kind of a combat game.
Yes.
It's not a 4X. It's definitely not a 4X.
Oh, good God, no.
Though it's themed as such. That's the thing. It's themed as a 4X game, but it's not a 4X game at all.
There's no. Absolutely not. In no way is this a 4X.
But I would say that is the theme.
I say the closest is a worker placement game, really.
It's not a worker placement game.
But it kind of is. I don't know.
How is it a worker placement game? It's an abstract game where your
perhaps
dice...
we should describe to our friends at the fort
right
exactly what this game is.
So, do you want to do it?
No, go ahead. Knock yourself out.
All right. So, Quantum is a game where, as Jeff said, your dice are spaceships. You're moving around the board. There's like tiles, and every tile has like spaces on it, and you move orthogonally by and large, but your dice all have a special ability as well. And it is kind of puzzly, I guess, in that sense. I mean, you're moving around on a map, you're fighting other players, you're getting, for all intents and purposes, techs, you know, and you're trying to drop your quantum cubes on these planets, right? But Your dice all have special abilities, and using those special abilities with your techs and recognizing everything that you can do, you puzzle out what you want to do, what you need to do to stop the other player from winning or doing what they need to do. So I guess I would say maybe it's kind of a puzzle game with a lot of dice rolling.
There is dice rolling. There's random aspects. Sort of race. Because
kind of a race game.
We played it twice, and basically what you're trying to do is get these... You got a set of five cubes, trying to place on a planet, and to do that, you have to meet certain requirements based on the number of dice that you have. The number of dice in a sector has to match the number by the planet.
Can't be less or more.
No, exactly.
Has to be exact.
So if you're in it, each tile is a planetary system, and if it's a number 8 planetary system, you have to move in dice. Any number of dice that add up to exactly 8. And
right.
If you do that, it can drop your little cube. I'm sorry, quantum, because
quantum
it's space.
Cubes. Yeah.
Space.
Yeah. But they're really nice looking cubes.
Oh,
they're not the wooden cubes.
No. And the dice can be modified by
Text,
yeah. i.e. cards that you purchase.
Yep. The thing that is going to appeal, I think, to gamers like us, though, is the sheer amount of combat. And really, combat is a much more kind of, it's a more efficient way, I would almost argue, to get your cubes out. Because every time that you fight someone and you win, you blow up their ship, that's gone, and you get to advance this die that you have on your little player map. And once that die hits six, then you place a cube, you know?
Right. It is. It's an abstract game, and it's very...
It's very conflict-heavy.
It is very conflict-heavy. It's very in-your-face. And as Josh pointed out, the combat is such that my little spaceship, i.e. die, because we're all flying Borg ships, would say three, and say Josh has a spaceship with a two face up. We roll the dice, another die, we add them together. Whoever has the lowest number wins the combat. So you're always... what am I trying to say? You have a great incentive to fight.
Yeah, that's what it is. I think that, and that's something that, even though this is not a Space 4X game, we've seen a lot of in Space 4X board games that feel the need to kind of correct this wrong that Twilight Imperium has done, because Twilight Imperium doesn't do that. But like every Space 4X game since Twilight Imperium has like tried to incentivize battle. Well, and this game, though it's not a Space 4X game, is themed as such. And
that's true.
It's got a huge incentive.
There's no doubt that turtling is the bane.
Oh yeah, you cannot
every civilization game going.
Yeah, and there's none of that here.
None of that here. There's no turtling. You're not going to win by avoiding conflict. In
right.
fact, we played two games. I narrowly lost the first one, and I won the second one. And my primary strategy was to blow people's shit up.
All three. I mean, like I've played it four times now, and every time I play, it's really tight. Like it almost seems as if it's designed to be that way. Where like unless you suck. Then,
like Al.
Right, well, no, Al had one left to put on the board at the end of our last game, right. You know? And that's the way that every game I've played of it has ended, you know? So it is a really tight game.
Let me ask you this in a general aspect.
Yeah.
Games where it seems like every game ends very close.
Yeah.
Do you think that obviates the strategy you played leading up to the very final turns? If it always comes down to one or two points separating the lead from winning from losing, is what you did up to the very last turn or the second to last turn matter a damn?
I would say that it does. Because the two games that come to mind to do that, for me, this one, Quantum... Mm-hmm. And it absolutely does. If you are not putting your quantum cubes on the board, then you're going to be behind. There's no two ways about it. You're going to have as many techs, because that's also how you get your techs, is by putting your cubes on the board. And the other game is Chaos in the Old World. And you've seen... we've both played with people who don't know how to play Chaos in the Old World. And do those people come in striking distance of winning?
No. Lost.
You sit four people down, though, that know what the hell they're doing at Chaos in the Old World.
It's going to be tight.
Very tight game.
Yep.
Very tight game where even, like, the board could win on the last turn.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Awesome.
I think that.
It is cool. But Quantum.
Quantum. We're talking about Quantum here. The look of the game, fan-fucking-tastic.
A-plus production on this game.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Looks great. The artwork, overwrought, played out, old, some might say, but I like it.
I like it, too.
It's got space things.
Components are really cool looking.
The components are quality, number one. No warpage at all.
The dice are a little misshapen. And they arrived sticky, which is... a mystery in itself. Yeah.
I don't know. They're not going anywhere near that. Sticky, you say.
And what was funny is it's the green and the yellow dice that arrived really sticky. And I was like, ooh, these are Shelley and Al's colors. But oddly enough, they're also Lindsay and I's colors when we play.
Yeah.
So. Married couples like sticky dice.
Yeah, well, my wife doesn't play games with me, so I don't know.
There's no sticky dice in your collection.
But, you know, the artwork,
it's good.
It's good.
Best player aid maybe ever.
Oh, yeah, the player aid.
The player aid is so fantastic, so well organized.
Somebody with graphic design experience took 5 seconds to lay this out. It's not one of those garbage player aids that are more confusing than anything else. And it's not overfilled with what we, on our lunar base, like to call euroglyphics.
No, there's no euroglyphics.
There's
all text.
It's not like, hey, these easy symbols for multilingual things that you have to then look up for 20 minutes in the rulebook to figure out what the hell they are. Yeah. Hello,
pretty much anything.
Rampage is
really horrible. Rampage. Yeah, Rampage got a lot of hieroglyphics.
Yep.
The other thing is everything that you need basically to play the games on Player Aid. Like that Player Aid, if you didn't have a rule book and you look at that Player Aid and you have half a brain, you could pretty easily figure out how to play the game.
Yep.
So how do we like the game, however? Jeff, you first, because
I like it okay.
Yeah.
And as I've said before, well, seeing as it's the first podcast you, Fortress Ameritrash fan, have not heard this, my deep enduring wisdom on the subject, it's good. It's okay. It's all right. It doesn't stand out, and in a world where 8 billion games come out of the chute every goddamn day, it's not enough.
Well, I think that it's such a short game, too.
Would you call it a light filler?
I would call it a filler. I would actually call this a filler. And I think that as a filler, it's got a bit more meat on the bone than most fillers do. And I think that is a really interesting niche that you don't usually see. Like fillers are usually like goofy, whatever, in one ear out the other, but it's fun for a while it lasts. King of Tokyo,
yep.
Love Letter,
mm-hmm.
Those are filler games that have, you know, they're just light and airy. This, however, plays in a very similar time frame, but it's got a lot more decision making. It's a bit more of a serious game for what it is, I think.
I will grant you all of that.
Yeah.
All of that. But I still stand by the fact that it's good, but not
Is it
great.
A main event game? No.
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 No, no, no. How much do you pay for this thing?
I think it's about $40 if you go by online retail prices. It's a nice looking game.
It is a good looking game, and it's all the way from France.
It is. Well, there's an American distributor for it, so.
I'm going to call it a.
Are you calling it an import?
I don't know. I was trying to make a joke regarding Freedom Fries, but I couldn't put it together.
Yeah, don't bother. I think it's a great game. I've played it probably four times just today.
Now,
just today. It was the first time that I played it, and I played it twice in a row the first time.
Really? Played it twice in a row right now?
I played it twice in a row right now, too. But, I mean, my wife requested to play this twice in a row.
Well, and so your opinion is skewed. Because Lindsay digs it, you dig it a little more than you would otherwise.
No, I think I really do dig what this game is about. I think I really dig what it's doing in providing a filler game that has, like I said, that more meat on the bone. It's a bit more thinky, but it's not too thinky.
All right.
I think that it is a really tight design as well. Like, everything fits together extremely well.
This is what Kickstarter games strive for and
exactly.
fail on a consistent
basis. I think that's a really good point at this point in
gaming
time. It's this is a fine reminder of why
there's a difference between a professional
exactly.
and a fat dude in his basement with a bunch of Monopoly boards.
Yeah. This is not some half baked, half assed design with a slap together production. Just everything works so well here. So well.
Yep. Well designed, good looking.
Yep.
Josh says it's great. I say it's okay. $40 at your online retailer. Comes straight to you from France, the land of champagne.
Champagne. And this podcast coming to you from America, where, as you've just seen...
Wrong! This podcast is coming from the moon, man!
The moon base... put there by Americans.
That's right.
All right.
We're not inhabiting any ramshackle commie moon base.
Jeff basically just gave you a sales pitch for the game. That's where I was going with that joke. Americans, sales pitches. Done.
Done. Out. Out.
Fat Thursday, out.
Next time, tune in when you'll hear Al Rose say...
What?
All right, do it again.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
There you go.
Hello, friends.
Hi.
Hey.